Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide episodes 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, normally 5 days a week when baseball gets back going, which the commissioner promised yesterday. He guaranteed that there would be baseball, Major League Baseball, in 2020. So when that happens, I assume we'll go back to 5 days a week. Obviously, I have to confirm with the decision makers at the Locked On Podcast Network. But anyway, on this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And I'll just jump right into the big news of the day. Yesterday was the first round of the MLB draft, and the Giants picked 13th overall, and they selected a catcher out of North Carolina State, Patrick Bailey, a switch-hitting catcher. So immediately, you know, much of the reaction, understandably in my opinion, was about a little confusion, like why are the Giants taking a catcher when they obviously have a lot of other needs? And then at the Major League level, they have Buster Posey signed for a couple more seasons, including this one. And they have Joey Bart, their best prospect by many and most accounts, is a catcher. And so, you know, in a system that's much improved but still has needs, why do you take a second catcher? Was kind of the reaction, the gut reaction to this pick. But then, you know, the conventional wisdom, and I think, you know, it's beyond conventional wisdom, clearly when we heard Farhan Zaidi make his statements after the first round of the draft concluded, he said, look, we don't draft based on need or even perceived need. And we took the guy who we thought was the best player available. And I fully endorse that position. And so we're going to kind of talk about Bailey today, talk about the upcoming draft for the Giants that gets back underway today, and then kind of just talk about what a fruitless effort it is to kind of criticize or celebrate draft picks when they happen and think that this was a good pick and that was a bad pick. It's really funny how we tend to do that. And then if you look back on, you know, any prior MLB draft, there are always tons of swings and misses, guys who were sure thing prospects who just did not pan out. And then there are always guys who kind of snuck to a team later in maybe the first round or maybe the 30th round, and they went on to be superstars. So it's a fool's errand to pretend like we know this was a good pick, this was a bad pick. So instead, let's, you know, I personally have a lot of faith in the Giants front office, Farhan Zaidi, amateur scouting director Michael Holmes, and all of the staff that went into making this decision. And Bailey was their guy. He was not a guy heavily rumored to be going to them in mock drafts, but again, they're not paying attention to what the mock drafts think they should do. They're going based on their own internal evaluations. And so, you know, we don't have access to that, but we do have access to what did some of the major publications have to say about Bailey prior to the draft. Where did they rank him and what were the scouting reports? So Fangraphs, and specifically that's Eric Longenhagen and Kylie McDaniel, I think had something to do with preparing these lists. Maybe not, because he now is working for ESPN. So I'm going to give credit to Eric Longenhagen for these rankings. And they had Patrick Bailey as the 12th best prospect in the draft, and he went to the Giants at number 13. So the scouting report, according to Longenhagen, in the short version is Bailey is a do-everything switch-hitting catcher with average tools. The full report, he says, Bailey is a polished switch hitter who performed throughout his entire college career, hitting .302, .411 with a .568 slugging, and plays a premium position. He's a capable hitter from both sides of the plate, utilizing a gap approach from the right side and a more of a pull-lift one from the left. He's a fine receiver and blocker, catching on one knee until a runner reaches base. Most of Bailey's good pop times rest around 1.95 seconds, which is about average. He has a very good chance to be an everyday catcher, but likely lacks the offensive impact to be a star. To say that that's a disappointing scouting report, I don't think would be accurate. To say that someone's a likely starting major league caliber catcher, to me, would be a great outcome. So according to Keith Law of The Athletic, ahead of the draft, he had Patrick Bailey as the 17th best prospect in the draft. And he said, coming out of high school in Charlotte in 2017, Bailey was seen as a defense-first catcher who might have a chance to hit. 3 years with the Wolfpack have flipped that on its head, and now Bailey is seen as a bat-first catcher who's good enough to stay at the position, but not more than that on defense. He's a switch-hitting catcher with enough power to profile as an asset to any lineup for that position. He's more balanced right-handed with some leakage when he hits left-handed. Behind the dish, he's an adequate receiver with a quick transfer that helps the grade, that helps his grade 50/55 arm play up. It hurts Bailey a little that he's never really hit for high averages, 288 last spring and 296 this year before the shutdown, but he doesn't strike out too often and has consistently posted strong walk rates. He seems like a safe top 20 pick because he's going to catch and he's going to produce something with the bat. So again, I think that's a pretty good evaluation and one that bodes well for the Giants. It is what some might call a safe pick, but they also say that they really just really like the player here. And something that gets overlooked, I think, too often when we're scouting is the walk rate stuff. I mean, you look at some of the best players in the game, they don't necessarily have great batting averages, and that's totally fine. If you're able to hit 250 but walk like 15%+ of the time, which I'm not saying Bailey's going to walk 15%+ of the time at the major league level, but if you're able to do something like that, it's completely fine, especially if you have some power. So kind of the mold of a really good player right now has shifted, where you can absolutely be a great player if you're hitting even like 240 with a 350 on base. If you can be like 100 points higher than your average, it doesn't matter at all that you're hitting 240. And if you hit for some power when you get your hits, you're a really good player. And someone who comes to mind, and I'm not trying to make a comparison necessarily here, but Yasmani Grandal is a catcher who doesn't hit for much average, but has a great eye. So he hits around 240, but he gets on base 35% of the time and he hits for power. And he's a switch hitting catcher. And he's a tremendous player because of those attributes. So anyway, that's not fair to compare Patrick Bailey to Yasmani Grandal, but they like him. And, you know, the walk rates, I think, get overlooked. And Bailey certainly has a good eye and he has power. Those are considered two of his greatest strengths. So MLB.com had Patrick Bailey as the 17th best prospect in the draft. They say he was the front runner to become the first catcher selected in the draft, and he was. They say his strength gives him solid raw power from both sides of the plate. His pop stands out more than his hitting ability, which is something we were just talking about, though he makes consistent contact and draws a healthy amount of walks. While he wasn't productive with wood bats last summer with Team USA, scouts believe he'll produce enough offense to profile as a regular. Again, that's three different publications saying he profiles as a regular major league player, which is more than most players that come out of the first round can ever say. MLB.com concludes by saying, even if he doesn't hit, Bailey provides enough defense to at least serve as a backup. He's more athletic and moves better than most catchers. He has solid, if somewhat inconsistent, receiving skills and has the arm strength to keep the running game in check. So anyway, that's kind of some major publications' take on Patrick Bailey. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about how this specifically impacts the Giants, who have, of course, Joey Bart. And so there was definitely some confusion and questions about why did they take another catcher. So we'll just kind of address some of that in the second half of the show. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Again, why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts, and why risk going out there when you can buy the parts yourself, do it at home, have a company come and do it for you with the parts that you bought yourself to save money? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Next, I want to talk to you again about Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious tasting protein bar. It literally tastes like a candy bar. Built Bars are soft and easy to chew, unlike many other bars that are grainy and difficult to get down. Built Bar is a great choice for a health-conscious person like me because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Just to give you an example, the peanut butter brownie flavor has 20 grams of protein, just 170 calories, and just 3 grams of sugar. To me, that's the big thing because I try to avoid sugar. And so being able to get 20 grams of protein with just 3 grams of sugar in a delicious tasting protein bar is unheard of. So that's why I'm confident that you'll love Built Bar. And if you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON and get $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the kind of instant reaction by maybe some fans and scouts and analysts alike. Why did the Giants take another catcher here when they already have Joey Bart as the almost consensus top prospect in their system? And my reaction to this is, again, to look at past drafts and look at just how many players end up being total blanks. Like, they had the hype, they had the pedigree, they were selected, and then they just did not turn into what was hoped out of them. And so when you're sitting there in your draft room, you can't be passing up on the guy you think is the best player available at that particular pick in favor of someone you think is worse just because you have a need at that position. So if you see a guy who you are the most confident in as a major leaguer, you take that player. And so to me, that's the end of the discussion. It doesn't matter that they already have Joey Bart. And, you know, I can see all kinds of scenarios in which the Giants could benefit from this if Joey Bart and Patrick Bailey turn out to be good. And that's in a nutshell what it boils down to, the concern, if you can even call it that, by the fans and whoever who raised these questions is, what happens if Joey Bart, you know, is good and Patrick Bailey is also good? How is that a problem? I don't see that as a problem at all. There are so many different ways that the Giants could deal with that. Scenario number one, Bart, you know, is obviously ahead of Patrick Bailey. Bart is close to the major leagues, was likely to debut this year and still might, and it still might be likely. So let's say Bart shows up at the major leagues and just is as advertised, and the hit tool proves not to be an issue, and he just is a really good player and kind of entrenches himself as an everyday guy for the Giants. First of all, I don't necessarily think there's such thing these days as an everyday player, especially at the catcher position. And they've talked about wanting Bart to learn other positions to increase his versatility and increasing the Giants' ability to rotate guys through that catcher position. So that's a whole nother story. But in this ideal scenario, Bart has established himself as a really good major league player, and Patrick Bailey establishes himself as a really good prospect and is close to the major leagues as well. So in that scenario, Bart's really good and the Giants have Bailey. And also in this future scenario, they probably also have a bunch of other good prospects that they like. It's not just Patrick Bailey. They have a farm system full of talent. Bailey is just one of those guys. So what do you do? Well, they have options, and it's never a bad thing to have options and to have good players that you maybe consider, you know, a surplus value at a certain position. So number one, the Giants in that scenario could elect to trade a top prospect, which, let's be realistic, trading top prospects nets you some of the best assets in the game. Okay, top prospects are the most coveted asset in baseball right now. And catcher is like the weakest position in baseball right now, especially offensively. So if you have a guy who's considered, you know, maybe at some point Bailey will be considered one of the best offensive catching prospects in baseball, which currently that probably belongs to Joey Bart. I think a lot of teams would line up for the opportunity to acquire a player like that. And I can already tell some of you are thinking you don't draft a player to expect to trade them. And that may be true, but you also don't necessarily know what you're going to get out of Bart. And we're talking years down the line here, a possible scenario, and it's just one of many options they would have. And so, yes, I think it's correct to always think of players' value in terms of their trade value, because that's kind of like their current market value, because other teams can't sign these players. So the way you really establish their value internally and measure that value is to consider their trade value. So I think it's perfectly reasonable to talk about a guy like Bailey's trade value in this hypothetical where Bart has established himself and Bailey is a top prospect. Again, that's like kind of dreaming. We do not know if Bailey is going to emerge as a top prospect. He'll certainly be, you know, someone to keep an eye on down the road, but he's not going to jump right into anybody's top 100 list. He's not going to jump right into certainly like top 50, top 25. So time will tell in that regard. But yeah, I mean, if catcher is such a weak position and you have one of the best catching prospects in the game, teams would be lining up for the opportunity to make an offer for that. And I think the Giants, being savvy as they are with trades these days, would be able to get a lot of value out of that. The other possibility is just have both players on your roster and figure it out. The universal DH is probably coming, so DH to the National League is probably coming, and so you'll need more offensive players. You need catchers to rest a little more. I think Far Anxiety has talked about that quite a bit, that you know they don't really expect their catchers to play as many games as has been traditional to keep them fresh. And so the DH would be a possibility for that. They also like the idea of guys moving around to other positions. They've talked about it with Bart. They didn't mention it with Bailey, but they have talked about it with Bart. And the other factor here is pitch framing. Both of these guys are considered good defensive catchers. Bart ahead of Bailey in that regard, probably by scouting reports. But the thing is, the automated strike zone may also be coming in addition to the universal DH. And in that case, I've heard the argument that catchers will be less valued and framing would be less important. And that's obviously true. Framing would be less important. But what would instantly become more important is offense at the catcher position. And suddenly, you know, a lot of teams currently don't really have that. The catcher is the worst offensive position in baseball besides pitchers, of course. And the Giants potentially could have two of the better offensive catchers in the game. So again, trade value becomes a consideration. And again, you have a surplus in an area where the rest of the league is maybe searching for answers. So I don't think it's a bad thing to have too many catchers. So anyway, with all of that said, Giants certainly, you know, if they draft six more catchers today, maybe I'll change my tune a little bit. But, you know, they still have six picks upcoming in just four rounds here. So, you know, it's going to be a really exciting day. The draft gets back underway today at 2:00 Pacific time. Giants can make some noise here. They are better positioned than most, and they have back-to-back picks at 67 and 68, I believe, in addition to their, you know, second, third, fourth, and fifth round picks, which continue to be in the top half of those rounds. So they can make a lot of noise and do a lot of damage with these picks, and it's going to be super interesting to come back tomorrow and talk about what they elect to do and kind of give a breakdown of the players they select. So I really look forward to that. Also, be on the lookout for a special episode featuring 8 Locked On hosts talking about life as a Black man in America. It's definitely a must listen, and it's coming up later today on Locked On Giants. So be on the lookout for that, and I definitely recommend that you check it out. All right, that wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.